You'll take all that seriously and take it home with you. See it stirred up in your life. You'll see some changes. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, that was a preaching service. Now we're going to have Bible study, Sunday school. Thank you, Lord. Well, I have, at different times and various ways, I have commented on what I'm going to be speaking on this morning, but I've never really taken the whole thing and put it together. Now, if you got a handout, you may need it here in a little bit because it's got some information on it. Now, I know that all of you, you grew up pretty much like I did. You grew up in the Baptist, not the Baptist, the Bible Belt. Baptist Bible Belt, the Methodist Bible Belt. We grew up in the Bible Belt, and a lot of us heard the same things, but just with a different flavor on them. And one of the things that we have always been relating to and having to deal with is what does the law say and what does the law mean and how am I in connection with the law? And as easy as it might seem to say the law doesn't have any effect over us anymore, it's hard. It's easy to say that and hard to get away from it. Because there's always something coming up. And I'm going to move through this rather quick because you've got these things here. We may allude to some of them, but it's not so much what it says as how we relate to it. The law is the law, and the law is the truth. But how do we relate to it? And I know that you have all of you have come up on somebody or had acquaintance with somebody or had conversation with somebody, and they've told you what the Bible says you have to do. And the problem is, they've been to you just like the first verse of Scripture that I'm going to use, which is the one that's on the handout this morning, Acts chapter 15, verse 1. And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Now, what they're saying was that the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross for your sins is not enough. You've got to be circumcised. Now, there are Christians, good people, people who love God, running around all over the place now telling you what you have to do. I'll tell you what, if you're going to heaven, you better get rid of that television. I mean, it's not so much that now. I think everybody's gotten used to it. And they say, wow, this is great because it's getting more. But back in those old days when it first came out, when I was a boy growing up, I remember there were a lot of people saying, well, I tell you what, if you're going to be a Christian, you got to get rid of that television. So that means the blood of Jesus plus the television. Well, now what they're saying here is that unless they were Jews, they'd been taught in the Jewish religion, and they had a strong faith in circumcision because it was the sign of the covenant that God had made with the children of Israel. And so even though now they have committed to Christ and they know that Jesus died for their sins and that he rose again, but somehow they're just still hung on to this circumcision thing. Now, Galatians chapter 5. I think that the high voice and the low voice in there are trying to get together. And they just don't quite do it at the same time. But now, you consider what I just said. Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Now, that's what they were preaching. And you find that everywhere today. Not standing saying unless you're circumcised, but unless something. Something you got to do, or something you got to stop doing. But in Galatians chapter 5, let's see what Paul says. And remember, Paul's the one that was dealing with these men in Acts chapter 15. He says to the Galatians, which is one of the places where these Judaizers went, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Now, most preachers get up and they preach this, that the yoke of bondage is the sin that was in your life. Don't go back out there and get in sin. That is not what he's saying. He's saying, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty for which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage, which was the law. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you," now this is a pretty strong statement. "Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing." If you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. If you put your faith in something else, Christ will profit you nothing. "And I testify again to every man who becomes," listen, "and I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law." That he is a debtor to keep the whole law. Now, you know there's a lot of people, and they don't keep the whole law, but they sure like to pick the parts of it that they think they like. Or something that pops out at them. That's what we're going to look at here before we're finished this morning. What people are doing and what they're not doing. You either quit trying to live by the law, or you start living by all of it. Now, most people don't go to all of it. They go to their little pet areas. It says, "You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace." Now, and again, most preachers get up and they preach about falling from grace means that you've fallen out into sin. Falling from grace means you've got back out in the world and you've lost your salvation. What Paul means here when he says it is that you have fallen from grace, which is salvation by Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. You have fallen from grace and you've fallen back into the law. And so now you're no better off than the people in the Old Testament. You're no better off than everybody was before Jesus even came and gave his life and shed his blood for us. "For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." Righteousness by faith, not righteousness by keeping the law. "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." And so they had a big disagreement at the beginning of Christianity, and here 2,000 years later, we're still having disagreements. And people can have some of the strangest ideas because of their disagreements. And even their own ideas don't hold weight and aren't reflective of the scriptures because they're using them the wrong way. Now, I want to look here a little bit at some of these scriptures. If you want to pick laws to keep, it is all or nothing. It's all or nothing. Now, there's people that'll get hard on certain things. I remember one time a man told me, we were talking about, he lived up in Casey County. He didn't even attend my church, but for some reason or other, I was visiting his house. And he got on the subject of divorce. And basically his position was that divorced people can't get saved unless they leave the one they're with now and go back to the one they were first married to. And get that right, then you can get saved. Otherwise, you can't. You think something didn't work the first time, will work the second time? Particularly if that person out there, they're not interested in getting saved, so they're not going to, you say, well, you know, I want to get saved, so let's get back together. You're nuts. I put up with you enough to start with. I'm not coming back. But that's what this man believed. I'm telling you, you know, as long as they're married to somebody else other than the first one they're married to, it's like, unless you can unscramble this egg, we can't do nothing about it. But see, this man, first of all, he had two presumptions. One, that was going to happen, that they were going to be able to, you know, to leave the one they're married to now, go back to the first one, everything's going to be hunky-dory now because they got saved. And the second thing that he messed up about was the scripture, and I didn't write this one down for some reason. The part of the law that says if a man divorces his wife and she marries another one, and then the other one leaves her or the other one dies, or whatever happens, but the second marriage breaks up, that she is forbidden by the law to go back to the first one. So he's saying they gotta go back to the first, they gotta do this and go back to the first one, and then God will save them. Well, if you're going by the law, he won't, because he just put it in the law. If that ever happens and the second marriage breaks up, you're forbidden to go back to the first one. I can spend a lot of time on that, but you see what I'm saying? Here's the things that we get into when we try to pick and choose from the law. Now, what about this? We want to pick or choose things like, for instance, let's put it this way. Did you know that most of us, if we're going to go by the law, we should be wearing beards, men? And we should never cut them on the sides. Certain ways you trim your beard, certain ways you don't, and it's law. So if we're talking about beards, probably all of us men are breaking the law. Ones of us that don't have one, and the ones of us that have one, that we're not doing it the way it says it should be done in the law. And Deuteronomy 22:5. That's a good one. It's on the sheet here. A woman shall not wear anything that pertains to a man, nor shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all who do so are an abomination to the Lord your God. Women, quit wearing pants. That's what you get. How many of you, and you don't have to spend any time, but how many of you have ever gotten talked to and that's been used against you? Okay. You know what that scripture means? That scripture means that a woman shouldn't dress up like a man in order to be perceived as being a man. And a man should not dress up as a woman in order to be perceived as being a woman. In other words, don't cross-dress or don't be transvestite. It's not talking about, you know, first of all, I can remember when men wore dresses. No, I can remember seeing it. I can't remember it. But, I mean, you go back and look through history and you see it. If you don't see some places where the men are wearing dresses. I mean, and in Scotland, they still wear the kilts. Over in the Asian countries, women have been wearing pants for years and 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 decades and decades. And it had nothing to do with gender. It was just the custom, the women. Now, you want to know something, men? Did you know our shirts were modeled after women's blouses? Do you know how you tell them apart? On a men's shirt, the buttons are on the right side. On a lady's blouse, they're on the left. Just so we be sure what we got. And yet there's people that'll throw that on you. You know, the Bible says a woman shouldn't wear that which pertains to a man. Okay. Exodus 21:17 says, and he who curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death. Well, now, you know, that's different. Leviticus 24:14, take outside the camp him who is cursed, let all who hear him, who heard him, lay their hands on his head, and let all the congregation stone him. My Lord, if everybody got stones I've heard cuss, we'd be having funerals all the time. But if you're going to keep the law, you got to keep the law. If you're going to jump all over a lady because she's wearing pants, then you got to jump all over your son because he's cussing and stone him to death. We don't realize what a deep mess we get into when we try to apply the law to our lives. Deuteronomy 22:9-11 says, you shall not sow your vineyard with different kinds of seed, lest the yield of the seed which you have sown and the fruit of the vineyard be defiled. That means don't use hybrid seed. I can promise you, if you put out a garden, most of what you put out was hybrid seed. Most corn crops are hybrid corn crops. They're mixtures of different strains of the corn. Now, what can this be? Well, you know, what's the purpose? You shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together. You shall not wear a garment of different sorts, such as wool and linen mixed together. They didn't have polyester and nylon and rayon. But they'd have had it been the same. Don't make a piece of clothing that's got more than one product in it. Now I want everybody in here to pull off all of the stuff that you're wearing that's made of at least two different types of material. You know how you go out of that door back there? A way you wouldn't want to. Every one of us in here would have to go out that back door. If we keep that portion of the law, and if we're going to keep some of it, the Bible says you got to keep all of it. We all go out that back door as naked as jaybirds. Now, you want the law? You think the law is good to mix in with the blood of Jesus? First, Deuteronomy 22:22. If a man is found lying with a woman married to a husband, then both of them shall die. The man that lay with the woman and the woman, you shall put away the evil from Israel. Now, you know, by the time of the Pharisees in Jesus' days, they weren't even keeping that one. Because you remember they brought the woman to Jesus that was taken in adultery in the very act of it. Well, that means there must have been a man there at that time with her, but they didn't bring him. Matter of fact, he might have been one of them. Getting mixed up with the law. Let me get you this one. Leviticus 11:22. Whatever in the water does not have fins or scales, that shall be an abomination to you. There's a couple of more places where it talks about it, and it says that the only thing that you can eat in the sea or in the rivers is that which has fins and scales. Fins and scales. There's nothing in the rivers and the oceans that has fins and scales except fish. And there are some fish that don't have fins and scales. And one of the biggest things that we eat and the places that we go to have special dinners of them is catfish. We're big on catfish. How long does it take you to scale a catfish? In other words, we shouldn't be eating catfish or shrimp or clams or lobsters or oysters or eels or clams. Yeah, mussels. Just cut them all out. If you're eating those things, you're breaking the law. And then if we have to live by the law, we got to live by the law. So you're done. Now, let's move on. Do I have it here? Well, I don't seem to have written it down. Maybe that's the one I was going to use. Let's go over here to Leviticus. Chapter 11. Yeah. Nevertheless, these you shall not eat among those that chew the cud, and of those who will have cloven hooves. The camel, because it chews the cud but does not have cloven hooves, is unclean to you. The rock badger, because it chews the cud but does not have cloven hooves, it is unclean to you. The rabbit, because it chews the cud but does not have cloven hooves, is unclean to you. If you eat any rabbit, if you like rabbits, got any rabbit home in the freezer, if you're going to keep the law, throw it out. Now, Mac over here, where is it? Leviticus 11:27. And whatever goes on its paws, among all kinds of animals that go on all fours, these are unclean to you. Moreover, whoever touches any such carcass shall be unclean until evening. If it goes on its paws, rabbits go on their paws. So there's another reason not to eat them. Squirrels run on their paws. They're unclean then. Oh, one of the things I forgot. Frog legs too. You can't eat no more of them. On their paws. Some people eat bear. Can't eat bear because it runs on its paws. You see? We're just getting deeper and deeper. You know, if you had an encounter with a bear, if you weren't pretty good, he'd probably eat you and you wouldn't have to worry about his paws. Leviticus 18:22. You know, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. Maybe we need to study that and see what it means. Because evidently it doesn't mean what it says, because there are a lot of Christians that don't see any problem with a man lying with a man or a woman with a woman. They don't see any problem with it. Now, I want you to understand where we're going. Now, okay, I read that one. I want to get this one here. And I'm not telling you particularly where it is, but most of this is either in Leviticus or Deuteronomy. So if you want to go back and get the whole picture, and you'll find some stuff. And oh, by the way, with all of the offerings, all the offerings that they had to give, but Jesus said, one offering, and I've taken care of it all. And it's all that has to be made. The only sacrifice that has to be made is what I made. This is just for fun, though. Listen. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a woman has conceived and born a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. That means nobody can touch you 7 days after you've had your male child. As in the days of her customary impurity, she shall be unclean. Now, the customary impurity is something you ladies deal with about once a month. God made you that way, and then he called it unclean. Because you wanted to teach them something. And on the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. She shall then continue in the blood of her purification 33 days. So 33 and 8 is 41. So in 41 days, she shall not touch any hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purification are fulfilled. In other words, ladies, if you have a girl baby, then you can't come to church for over a month after that baby's born, because you're unclean and you can't come in here unclean. I'm talking about the law. Now, listen to this. But if she bears a female child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her customary impurity, and she shall continue in the blood of her purification 66 days. If it's a boy, it's 30 days. If it's a girl, it's 66 days. You women are twice as unclean as men. And you know, if I could read some of the other stuff, most of our uncleanness comes because we touch you. But I'll tell you something, it's not as simple as it sounds, because if you go and you read through there and you read through what they're required to do, it's amazing that any of the people were clean any time. The only time that you could be clean is when you went to sleep at night until you woke up the next morning, then you got dirty all over again. Now see, you can't pick this bunch of laws over here and try to apply them to your life unless you're willing to pick all of them. Is there anything else I want to read here? Yeah, I want to read this one. This one's Deuteronomy 27. But you just need to listen to it. I'm going to begin with verse 14. And the Levites shall speak with a loud voice and say to all the men of Israel, this is, cursed is the one who makes a carved or molded image, an abomination to the Lord. The work of his hands is of a craftsman and sets it up in secret. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Cursed is the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is the one who moves his neighbor's landmark. And all the people shall say, Amen. You know what that is? That's moving the little boundary line so you can get two more feet when the surveyor comes out there. Cursed is the one who makes the blind to wander off the road. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is the one who perverts the justice due to the stranger, the fatherless, and widow. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is the one who lies with his father's wife because he has uncovered his father's bed. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is the one who lies with any kind of animal. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is the one who lies with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is the one who lies with his mother-in-law. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is the one who attacks his neighbor secretly. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is the one who takes a bribe to slay an innocent person. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is the one who does not confirm all the words of this law by observing them. And all the people shall say, Amen. Now, are you sure it's such a good idea to pick and choose through the law and apply to your life? Why do you want to do it? You want to do it because you've been told that's what you should do. You have been, all of the people that put a condition on Jesus Christ and on his blood are doing it because they have gone and picked something out of the law. And they brought it forward. And you can't do it without bringing all of it forward. Cursed. Cursed, 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 cursed. Now go with me to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, begin with verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. And what he means by that is all of them. A-L-L. Christ has redeemed us. Whew. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, you know, that doesn't say Christ has redeemed us from sin, which he has. But in this particular issue, what Paul's talking about is the law. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The law is a hard taskmaster. And the same people that will go in there and say that which woman should not wear that which pertaineth to a man will eat catfish and bacon and ham and sausage and pork chops and think nothing of it. But they'll curse you if they think that you're wearing that which pertaineth to a man, women. Or vice versa. It's usually the women that get the brunt of that when you don't see too many men with wearing dresses. And if we do, we really already wear out figure what they are. And you know God loves them. Loves them as much as he loves you. And he wants to change them. He wants them to acknowledge his love. But the boy would rather have a boyfriend than to have God. Because when they start seeing the difference, they start seeking the difference. But now the next time somebody throws something at you out of the law, you treat it the same way you do the fiery dart of the devil, because that's what it is. It just looks like it's coming from a good person. The devil gives Christians fiery darts all the time and says, throw them at that one. And they do. The devil says, I didn't do that. She did. They're fiery darts. I've told the story about the lady who called me. Never been to my church here. Never. Didn't know me other than just that she was talking to somebody at work, and I guess they told them that she need to call me. Probably somebody from our church, but I don't know who it would have been. And she called me and she said, you know, I was at church, and she said, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. She said, I know I did. And she said, the love of God was just so strong, and I just felt so different, and I was so much lighter and free. And I went to work today, and I told some of the ladies there that I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, some from our church and churches that were, you know, the fellowship with our church. And she said, you know what happened? She said, they looked at me, and they said, you didn't get baptized in the Holy Ghost last night. I don't know what happened to you, but you never got baptized in the Holy Ghost, because if you got baptized in the Holy Ghost, you wouldn't be wearing them pants. You know where they got that? From the law. Keeping the law. And go back sometime, sit down, read through Leviticus and Deuteronomy. And you don't even have to read the whole of it, just in Deuteronomy. You start about chapter 14, read the next two or three chapters. In Leviticus, started chapter 11, I believe. Read up through about chapter 19. And if you're going to hold stock in some of it, you got to hold stock in all of it. But thank God we've been delivered from the curse of the law. We have been delivered from trying to keep the law. I'm going to end with one more verse of scripture. Romans chapter 10. How many of you are familiar with Romans chapter 10 from verse 6 all the way through verse 18? One verse 6 says, but the righteousness of faith speaks in this way, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring down Christ from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And he didn't give us an addendum of, oh, by the way, plus all this. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall we call on him in whom we have not believed? And how shall we believe in him of whom they had not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As like Sister Shirley said earlier, get this submarine, dive into the word of God and submit to it. Hearing by the word of God. Now you heard all that, let's back up. Now that's glorious. But listen to this part. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. I know a lot of Christians that have a zeal for God, but they don't have much knowledge, and so that's why they just pick up everything they hear that goes by. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Here's the verse. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does these things shall live by them. Did he say Christ is the end of the law? Some people say, now, well, the law is gone. Christ is the end of the law. The law is over. No, he says Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. In other words, you and the law have no relationship when it comes to righteousness. Your righteousness is not by how well you keep the good laws. Your righteousness is by your faith in Jesus Christ. And that Philippian jailer ran into that jail that night, fell on his knees before Paul, and he said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy household. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And that's all Paul ever told him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Christianity is not us accepting an established set of laws and regulations. Christianity is us having a personal relationship with a living God named Jesus Christ that lives in us and we live in him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You have a right relationship with Jesus Christ. Quit trying to establish a relationship with the law. If you get your relationship with Jesus Christ established right, the law will be taken care of because Jesus took care of it. He said, you don't go to the law anymore now to find out whether you're righteous or not. You come to me. You come to me. And you know, I found out something. And I'll close with this. I wasn't going to say anything about it, but you know, if the Ten Commandments are the only thing that matters, you know, people really, you know, I found out listen to this. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Okay, I got that one right because I've never served another god. You shall not make for yourselves a carved image in the likeness of anything that's in heaven above or that's in the earth beneath or that's in the waters or under the waters. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I am the Lord your God. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. I never built a carved image, so I'm good. I'm good. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Never taken the name of the Lord in vain since I've been an adult. When I was a lightheaded teenager, I might have. But you can't, there's only two people that you could ask, and they'd say, yeah, I may have heard him do that. And I'm not going to tell you who they are. But nobody else. Okay. Years and years and years and years. I mean, like 50 years. 60 years. Since it happened. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day and the Sabbath of the Lord your God, in it you shall do no work. You, nor your sons, nor your daughters, etc., etc., etc. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and then he rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. To my knowledge, I can't ever remember doing any work on Sunday. Except I'm working now. But Sunday's not the Sabbath, so what difference does it make? I mean, you know, we get all about, you know, about keeping the Sabbath. The Sabbath was yesterday. It was the seventh day, not the first day of the week. It was the seventh day of the week. But I don't have an issue with that. Honor your father and your mother. That today's your... Yeah, I do that. I've always honored my father and mother. I've never done anything deliberately that I knew was going to dishonor them. Of course, now they made pretty good examples of somebody that you could honor. But I've always honored my father. You shall not murder. I haven't done that. You shall not commit adultery. I haven't done that. You shall not steal. I haven't done that. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. I haven't done that. You know, it's a lie. It just says bear false witness against your neighbor. It doesn't say anything. It doesn't really say that, so I'm not lying. Says, don't bear false witness. In other words, don't tell something about somebody that's not true. And you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that's your neighbor's. I can't remember ever coveting anything anybody else has. I've been satisfied with what I've got. Hey, you know, that's pretty good. I hit maybe all 10 of them with a little bit, maybe I tainted one or two of them, but not too bad. You know, come right down to it, keeping the Ten Commandments is really a piece of cake. So why do I need Jesus? Because the scripture says that without him I'm lost. No matter how good I've done in keeping the law. And besides, the Ten Commandments are just a little bit. All the other stuff that I read this morning and the stuff on there, that's all the law. And it all holds just as much weight as the Ten Commandments. And if you're guilty of breaking one of these, you're guilty of them all. That's why Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. You can live righteously because of Jesus Christ. And if you live righteously, don't you think that by default that means you've kept the law? You've kept all that God's required. Now this is important this morning because I know that some of you are going to go out of here and you're going to get in a conversation with somebody and they're going to tell you that something is necessary besides believing in Jesus Christ. I know they will. They all do. We're saved by grace, not by the law. But the grace of God is not just a pardon of our sins. The grace of the Lord is a power to keep us from becoming enslaved by sin. It's a power to deal with sin. The love of God. The love of God, the power of God. That's what's in grace. Somebody told Laverne the other day. She said, you know, there's no church around here anywhere that preaches grace like y'all do. And I told her. I told Laverne. I said, but she's right. I don't know of any of them that don't add something to it. But if you understand that you're saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, that his blood took care of your sin, and you're not always looking over your shoulder for something that you missed in the law, you're going to find yourself free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We've been set free from sin. We've been set free from the curse of the law. We now walk in righteousness, and that is in rightness with God because of what Jesus did, not because of what we've done, but because of what he did. And so look at your righteousness rather than somebody pointing out some part in the law and saying, do you do that? Well, do you eat ham? Do you eat bacon? Do you eat catfish? I'm no worse than you. If something's wrong with me, it's wrong with you because you've been eating the catfish. That's why we're to put it behind us, keep our eyes on Jesus, and go forward in faith. Let's stand. You know, I hear people all the time come up with something. You know, like the, you know, wearing that which pertains to the other sex. Stuff even crazier than that. And they get onto that, and I just think, you know, you've been reading in the law, but you're not rightly dividing the word of truth. We don't have to do that anymore. What I have made clean, Jesus said, is clean. And isn't it interesting that when he told Peter on that sheet business, and Peter looked at it, and it was full of all kinds of unclean stuff, and then Jesus says, Peter, kill it and eat it. Peter says, you got to be kidding. Nothing like this ever crossed my lips. It's unclean. And Jesus said, what I've cleansed, don't you call it unclean. Now, are you cleansed by the blood of Jesus? Don't call yourself unclean. Don't get to worrying about what God sees in you. He sees not what I used to be, but he sees Jesus. I am covered over with a robe of righteousness. Let's bow our heads. The greatest things that you can ever come to the realization is that the law has no authority over you. But the one with authority over you now is Jesus Christ. And he's on your side, wanting to develop in you the best you can be. And he's not stomping on your head when you fall down. He's there with a hand saying, let me help you up. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord God, for the freedom that we have in Christ. That we've been set free from the law of sin and death. Now we can walk in freedom with Jesus Christ. Because we've been reconciled to him. Been reconciled to you by the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord God, I just ask that your spirit just keep that stirred up in us that we don't forget it. And Father, I ask you to bless your people this week and all they put their hands to in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. God loves you. Be free.